Pickaxe.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Welcome to Extended Rest for the month of February. Thank you to everybody out there who is joining us in the chat live tonight. With me is Brianna.
Hi, guys.
And Ryan.
Hey.
And Susan.
Hello.
We're going to be covering episodes 59, 60, and 61 of Arc 2. We talked about this on the last couple of episodes, but Arc 2 is coming to a close soonish. Like, I could feel it. Like, we're getting there. So I don't exactly know where everyone's going to end up, but it's been fun to get to explore these characters and kind of set up a bunch of dominoes. We got like, what, two or three episodes in the can now. Like, we actually have a surplus.
Yeah. I always do the, speaking of Mondays, I always do the, like, resorting what we have in the can and what has been recorded and who's setting up sessions. By the way, thank you, Susan, for posting in Group A and being like, hey, how about I help schedule a session? That was awesome.
Yeah. I know you guys are super busy.
That is crazy helpful. Thank you.
Yeah. But I think we have, like, three or four in the can. Yeah.
I completely lost my train of thought just now. Let's...
End of the arc.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta get over here. I wasn't in the right... There we go. Boop! All right, let's talk about Arc 2, Episode 59. Better off. It is a Group A. Mm-hmm. And this takes place just after the whole demon summoning thing and Ubo and Clarissa surviving the ordeal. But essentially, the group and then kind of coming to terms with everything, and yeah.
Yeah.
I wish Rob were here to talk about a couple of things, but it's awesome that we got you, Susan, because, like, this is a heavy-ass episode.
Yeah.
Because there were a couple of times I'm kind of flash-forwarding while we're recording and kind of talking about everything with Alexandra and Clarissa and everything with Maddie, that I'm really kind of I don't exactly know where these characters are going to end up, because that's really huge for them. That really goes against the grain of their whole culture to summon a demon, even for a good cause.
Yeah. And I know Rob very much felt a connection with Clarissa because they went through this together. So now it's like, hey, we did this thing to bring our friend together, but now we have to deal with the repercussions together. So I know Rob took it as Ubo has a very strong connection with Clarissa now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Even at the end of the episode, he was like, you are the only one that knows what I went through.
Yeah. Which I didn't actually see coming from Ubo. Like, I guess that makes total sense. But the whole...
Same here.
Yeah.
Like, when I heard it, I was like, whoa, okay.
I didn't expect the whole brothers in arms type of thing.
Yeah, I didn't either.
So, let's get this terribly awkward episode underway.
Shame.
Okay. Essentially, we're picking up the episode. Ubo and Clarissa are relatively fine.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of things that we don't know. Like, we don't know what Darmok
is
going to do. With it. Like, what the... A price, I guess. I wanted to say penalty, but what the price is for this.
I'd like to pause this for a moment. And I have been in a session with you playing Darmok before on DRP, but I feel like this one was more Darmok-y. And I hated every second of it.
Oh, good. That's
definitely, as someone who's played a lot with Darmok, I feel the shift from like crazy trapped in his human body or tiefling body, like mortal coil Darmok, who's just completely off the rails, versus demon Darmok, who like kind of has his shit together, but he's still Darmok.
It's
like,
really tough, right?
It's fucked.
With Darmok, there are like two... I'd say there are two big qualifiers for him where like, okay, with a lot of these characters, you have to get across very quickly with a voice or an inflection or something like that, that it's like, oh, that's this character. Like, you know Gradic when you hear him, you know, mm-hmm. there are a bunch of characters like that. With Darmok, it's like his mental illness is like the big thing. So if you start stripping layers of that away, it's like, is that Darmok anymore?
Right.
So it's a fine line to walk where it's like, okay, I can keep some of those patterns, like the breathing and the general aura of creepiness, but he's a little more lucid and has a plan. Like he's, which I think makes him a bit more threatening.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was a more like Hannibal, you know, like the, like the tongue on the tip of the teeth type of thing that just like, ugh, I wanted to take my earphones off.
Good. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Did you know? Holy shit. This just dawned on me. We're going to get to do Darmok artwork.
Oh, yeah. Ugh.
We've never done that.
We should just do his hands.
Just that, yeah, that's it. He's a hand model. He's
what is the opposite of a hand model?
I'm over both of you. I'm taking back the brownies and the peanut butter.
No,
cookies.
You promised. You can't. Oh my god.
Oh, thank you, Red Banana. I did that.
Yay!
So Red Banana says in the chat, in the beginning, Ubo slammed his hand on the ground and the editing was good. Rob actually did hit the table.
Yeah.
I just tried to make it sound more like he was hitting, like, the ground. Because I added an extra little slam in there because it sounded too much like he hit a table. And I was like, I want it to sound, first of all, it needs to sound like an orc is doing it. So it couldn't just be Rob, because Rob's not an orc.
No, Rob's not an orc.
Just confirming that. I know the rumors have been around for a while. Rob's not an orc. And, yeah, I wanted it to be more real. So I'm glad that someone picked up on that.
Hi, Jamie!
Hi, Jamie!
So, they are relatively fine, Ubo and Clarissa, and they're just kind of talking to each other. Ubo is completely overcome with... guilt and remorse because he's that didn't go as they planned, and they have no idea if Anvin's even okay. So in that moment, they're kind of sitting there. It's like, I don't even know if that was worth it. And what did we give away? And all this stuff. Yeah. So it's Clarissa tried to make him feel a little bit better because the one thing I didn't want was I didn't want Clarissa to be painted as, oh, she didn't know what she was doing. She 150% knew what she was doing, and she's the one who suggested it. So I didn't want it to be, it's like, oh, I pushed it. It's like, no. Like, she's not dumb. Like, she's the one, it was, okay, let's take a poll, actually. Was it the right thing to do? Yes or no? Because that's tough. Like, okay, if they didn't do it, Anvin's dead and gone. Mm-hmm. Does Anvin deserve a second chance? And at what cost?
Well, okay. The thing about Dungeons & Dragons, particularly our show, is like, there are so many levels of whether something is the right thing to do. Because it's like, okay, was that the right thing to do ethically as characters?
Yeah.
Then the other level is like, was that the right thing to do narratively as entertainers? And then there's another level of, is that a good thing to do for your friends as a person who is playing with a game with their friends?
On and that then level, there's...
Oh, yeah?
And then there's even what would your character would right. think is the right thing to do. Like, yeah. you could there's think some something problems. Is right for your character, but it's not what your character would want.
Right.
Two things, real quick. Max Panda, you're giving Amphin an extra hit point. 16 hit points? No, no, no.
Ooh.
Amphin has just hit level 6, and he's rocking 15 hit points.
Every morning okay. I wake up and break my legs. Every afternoon I break my arms.
I can collaborate this. I saw him roll it. He rolled another one, guys.
It's amazing.
He is a poor boy.
It was so good.
Yep. They went through so much, leveled up last night, and that was the last thing we left on. Michael's like, I kind of want to roll my health just to see what I get. And
Why?
We basically all just was like, do it, do it.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, okay.
The other thing I was going to say I'm sorry.
So just real quick, for the whole poll thing, personally, like, Ryan is a big fan of that going down. Just narratively, just story going through that, because that gives Jason a huge token to just throw a really large twist in the story at some point in time. But I can't say that if I was in his shoes, I would be sitting there looking at all the negative sides and all the unknowns, and I wouldn't have done it.
I think in the world of Theria, whether it was right or wrong, it's hard to say because of the information that Group A has. Mm. Because intent is a lot to do with whether something is morally right or wrong. Ubo was told about demons. He was told they can do bad things by Aster particularly. But that's kind of like, in our world, you're not supposed to make deals with Satan. Where it's like, yeah, but he doesn't really exist. Or like, there's really no real power there. Or something like that, where you hear those rumors and legends and stuff. But to Ubo, that wasn't real until there was a demon in front of him.
Right.
So intent-wise, he didn't really understand the price. But does that change whether or not it's wrong?
And on the other hand, though, okay, I've had like 3 months to think about this, so maybe my vote shouldn't count. But on the other hand of that, he has been traveling with Maddie for 8 months now.
Right. So like,
so Maddie may have had some influence on him regarding the whole demon thing. So maybe I don't know. Mm-hmm. Again, I shouldn't have a vote. Like, I'm very invested in this, so.
Okay, going back to what you were saying, like, the entertainment thing, I don't know if this is wrong or not. The entertainment is a byproduct for me.
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's like, yeah, I'd rather you guys be true to your characters. Because, obviously, okay, Arc 2 has been a way different flavor of DNR than Arc 1 was. Mm-hmm. And we've had some people who really like that direction. We've had some people who are like, I kind of miss the wacky hijinks and big, big set pieces and whole armies clashing. It's like, well, it can't be that all the time. Arc 3, I would like to kind of marry those two styles a little.
Yeah.
But to me, it's about you guys and what your decisions are. And anything that happens beyond that is a byproduct. Like wherever that camera is focusing, that's just the story to me.
Right. And I think it also harkens back to, literally, I think it was two extended rests ago, maybe Ryan and I were on it. I think Susan was there, too. I think it was the exact same group of people. But we're talking about here. How we regretted some decisions because we didn't take risks that we should have taken because it would have made the story better.
Right.
That was
the feedback?
It was the feedback episode. That was the one.
It was the feedback, and we were making these comments about how we have some of these regrets, and we were talking about, you know, well, maybe going forward, it should just be one of those things of, you know, what's the interesting thing that my character would still be able to do?
Right.
And I think with Ubo, that falls right into place.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Rob took that chance that we were talking about regretting not taking, essentially. Mm-hmm. So on that layer, I'm like, that was probably the right choice because it was the most interesting choice and also fit with the character.
Yes.
As, like, a player who's playing with their friends, obviously you always want to save a party member when you can. like a fellow PC. Poor Anvin, like he only has 14 little hit points at the time. Like Rob just wanted to like. Though I think that for me, like between narrative and just like being friends, I think the being friends part usually we go, okay, but my character. That's not the. I think that's more a thing in regular D&D games, whereas this one we all kind of know, like, I'm playing my character, and I still love you, and we're still going to be friends.
And I want to establish that behind the scenes in the chat, I was going, oh god, Rob, I'm so glad that you did this, like, the entire time. Because although Maddie was, you know, the way she is, whatever, I was going, please do this, please.
Exactly.
I was, I'm looking at the chat, and thank you guys, you're saying that, like, the fact that the entertainment portion is a byproduct, we're not making, like, one, it's not scripted, but beyond that, we're not making decisions, because it's like, that'll be a fun episode. It's like, that's
it's
just what my character would do.
What your character would do. It's just, we were talking about not taking chances, because we want our characters to live. That's something that Ryan and I were talking about last episode, where it's like, oh man, I should have taken more chances with like this situation with Clara, but I was so afraid she would die that I didn't.
Right.
Those kind of things.
And just, there are a couple of, I guess, luxuries that we're afforded that a lot of regular D&D groups don't have. Like, one, we play regularly. We know we're going to play regularly. We all kind of trust each other in that one. Obviously, we all get along as people. We're all friends. But on the same token, if someone makes a character decision that kind of digs over another character, that's not going to cause a rift or cause people to be at each other's throats or angry. You know what I mean?
And that's a huge piece, because one of the D&D groups that I'm with, and I don't think they're listening to this, but even if they do, they already know. But
I'll say it to their face.
I'll say it to their face. But with that group, I can't do that level of role play. I can't have an argument between our two characters because they take it personal. Mm-hmm. And it's we're just trying to have a good story. We're trying to develop these character roles.
Right.
And you can't do that with that type of game. And I think there's a lot of games out there that people tend to take that like, oh, well, if you're arguing with my character, you're arguing with me.
Right.
And that's what's so good about DNR is we all know that, hey, look, we're just doing what our characters would do. We're still friends. We're still going to chat. We're still going to be playing together. It's going to be perfectly fine. Let's have fun with this.
And that's, I think at Dragon Con, they ask all the time, like, oh, do you prefer playing online or in person? And I always say online, because there's that level of like, our two characters are fighting, but then I can be in the chat like sending hearts and telling like Jasper that I love him and that it's not personal. You can't do that in a normal game, because you have to be you can't just stop role playing to be like, by the way, this isn't personal anyway, I'm so mad at you, like that's lame.
And I think that's it's a testament to how this has just become patting ourselves on the back, but it's a testament to how well you guys do, because there are a lot of people who don't listen to like the behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. So what they hear is like Maddie lashing out at a character played by me, or maybe Ubo or something like that. And then they don't get the part where behind the scenes we're like, oh my God, that was such a good scene. Good job. We're all like patting each other on the back. Yeah. They don't get to hear that. So they're like, man, do they hate each other? It's like, no, they're just really good.
I mean, some of us hate each other, but you wouldn't know it because that's how good we are.
Yeah, that's the point.
We just like each other too
like
much.
Clara and
we go
way get along, but I hate Lisa more than anything.
Here's the thing. I was going to make a joke, but like, our self-esteem is all low enough that I'm like, I bet Lisa would kind of like take that seriously, so don't.
I love you, Lisa.
So, moving on. This is the part I was just talking about where, so okay, Maddie and Alexandra meet up and they end up looking for Ubo and Clarissa. So, I think the way we described it was essentially they're knocking on doors and pounding the pavement trying to find them. And then these two come stumbling out of a building and just, they look terrible, you know, coated in blood and all that stuff. And what follows is momentary concern and then kind of that realization of like, oh, you did what? Like that type of thing. So like Alex is mad at Ubo right away. because Alex doesn't know Ubo. So it's kind of like, what did you do? You know, probably not wanting to believe that Clarissa would do something so stupid.
Yeah.
So it becomes that thing of like, well, it's your fault, obviously. And then slowly but surely, the entire thing falls apart. And
Maddie took the exact opposite, too. Like, oh, Ubo wouldn't do something so stupid. What did Clarissa do?
It was like two kids who got in a playground fight. And
you're a bad influence on
me. Yeah. Bad influence on my son.
Susan, you broke my fucking heart during this episode.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
The ring. Ugh. The ring. It's like, just throwing that. That fucking killed me.
You know, I was debating. I was like, okay, Alex already, like, beat the shit out of Ubo. Maddie was going to slap Clarissa. And I was like, what would she actually do after seeing Alex beat up Ubo? And I was like, okay, well, this is a deeper cut.
Oh, yeah. Like, when I was listening to that, I was in my car driving to work, and it made me grip my wedding ring. And like, no.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so good, though. It was really, really good.
Hearing Susan be so mean in character was a lot like the first Vampire Game where Mandy screamed rapist at so out of her regular character.
Made me clutch my pearls. Yeah. Mandy? Like.
But it's also kind of like when James says the mean F word. He says fuck sometimes, but he does it so rarely.
Yeah.
It's the same with Susan. When you play Maddie angry and, like, spiteful, it hits so much harder because I know you in real life and you're so not that.
It's you know what it hit me as? Like that, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
Yeah!
That's what hurt. Because, like...
So, the way I saw it is Maddie and Clarissa were raised in the church together. They were both there since they were children. They both got the same teachings. They both knew demons were bad. They were both raised to think blood magic was bad since the time they were kids. And then they were both on the same level. And then all of a sudden, Clarissa goes off that level. Mm-hmm. And it betrayed her trust. And then on another level, Clarissa was going to be the leader of the church. So now she can't even trust the church anymore.
Exactly. This scene exemplifies exactly what I was talking about. I think it was like two extended rests ago where we were talking. I got a bit of shit from a couple of people who were like, oh, these are the first character deaths of the arc and they just come right back. And I'm like, well, they didn't just come right back.
Yeah.
There were sacrifices to be made. And this is the kind of stuff I would rather, I mean, I don't think every character should always come back, obviously.
Yeah.
But I would rather get those two characters back and further a storyline and get scenes like this than just have a flat out character death and you guys just move on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think this is way more powerful in terms of storytelling and that twisting the knife thing. I love twisting the knife, and this is so fucking good. I just thought you guys did really good.
I'll continue to twist the knife, no worries.
Good. But moving on to finalize this episode, we get what might be the oddest bit of Group A development so far, and that's Masoka. Masoka essentially talking to God or getting messages delivered or visions.
Susan, on a scale of 1 to 10, how pissed are you that he's talking to literal God, and how pissed is Maddie that he's talking to literal God?
It. I personally love it. So 0, no pissed. I love it. Maddie, maybe like 2. Like, what is happening? But cool that I'm dating this guy now.
Is that okay? I'm leaping way ahead. Let's say that Masoka and Maddie are an item for like 2 or 3 years. And let's say this continues where...
Oh my God.
Right. Like Masoka, for whatever reason, I don't know. Like, One, James has made some Faustian bargain to get the roles he gets. But
yes,
let's say that Masoka just falls ass backwards into speaking with a monitor, like, or getting
like
influence.
Having court with a monitor?
Yeah, but oh, Maddie's not a part of it. Is that something that causes a rift after a while?
I don't know. I feel like it's the beginning of the wedge, but it depends on how it happens, I guess.
How many times can you go, "That's great, honey"? Like how many?
Yeah. Like watching him live out your dream. Yeah.
I've trained my whole life. This is great.
Yes. Remember that time you punched that guy in that bar for no reason? I'm glad that a monitor thinks you're worthy. Fuck you.
But I don't know. Like, right now, though, if this keeps happening, Maddie will probably just put more faith in Masoka because she just left her church and she's doubting everything.
Ah.
So if this keeps happening, she may just, like, find this as, an inroads to more Masoka. Mm. Like,
that makes sense.
Okay, he's the answer because my church isn't.
Oh, yeah, shit. That's
yeah.
Does Maddie... Okay, so is it just a crisis of faith when it comes to organized religion or religion as a whole at this point? What is it?
I think it's just that branch, right?
Yeah, I think it's specifically right now the church of Aubrey. And
just
she's going to be looking for more churches, but I'm going to give you guys behind the scenes. I think because there's no other large churches of a monitor, she'll eventually get to the point where she goes... Like, oh, well, no one else has their shit together. How am I supposed to have my shit together?
Because my only thought is she also had a very huge problem when Masoka told her about the church in Brightport.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, Brightport, Aubrey, and then she's been to Winterhaven. Winterhaven just has, like, a bunch of, like, auxiliary churches. No, like, big ones.
Yeah.
So.
Is there
any turning into the thing to where, like, Susan's... So you're going to be following Masoka and be like, this is the new church.
Just maybe she'll dedicate...
Around.
Yeah, she'll dedicate her whole self to Masoka because he's talked to God twice.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. We'll see where this goes.
I was... I saw it differently. It's like, maybe that... Like, would there be any part of Maddie that would want to go to Brightport and clean up that church?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. I just didn't know if that was a possibility.
That is definitely on the agenda.
In the midst of Masoka getting another vision, which is two, if you're counting, two, he essentially was shown visions of Father White being slowly poisoned. Essentially, it's like, yeah, there's a cure for this, but you got to go harvest herbs and stuff like that to get. So that information was passed on in town. And... when all was said and done, you guys decided to hit the road and continue on your mission to Donhurst, which, God, I can't wait till you guys get to. But yeah, that was episode 59 of Arc 2. Yeah. A lot of heavy scenes and really, really well-acted stuff. So again, congratulations, hats off to you guys. Boy, we do not take compliments well. That was
just dead silence.
Yeah, just
to be fair, the only you guys in this call was actually Susan. So
yeah, Ryan and I can't accept compliments.
Anything. Yeah,
nope.
I put in that that one smacky sound. I did that. That was my contribution to that episode, and also the rest of the editing. But like,
I was about to say you edited that one. So, oh goodness. A part of me, I just realized in Extended Rest, we don't cover the stuff that we do for Patreon. And I was like, man, I want to talk about Bump in the Night and Vampire, but like, we don't. So like, whatever.
Well, time to add a new show.
No! Please don't, no.
Ow.
Just make sure you schedule that on Monday, Bree.
No!
Yeah. We'll do it right after we record an episode on Monday.
I'll start crying. I just
at 9 p.m.
Let's talk about Arc 2, Episode 60, Collection. We actually got to touch on something that hasn't been on the show in, a good 150 episodes. So, Group B is essentially in the middle of picking themselves off and dusting themselves off. They kind of had a conversation where it was similar to Group C's, but I feel like Group B's was much more dire, where it's like, all right, guys, what the fuck are we doing here? Because
they are so beaten up.
They haven't had a good time since Fairbay, since the first episode they were in, and then they set off, and
an arm was cut off.
Dude, every stop on their journey has just been, you know, them getting the shit kicked out of themselves, and I think this is the first time where they're like, okay, this is it. We're gonna go fix Braylon's memories. We're gonna continue on to Esterholt. We're gonna sic some Paladin's Accord, hopefully, on this whole Black Hand situation in Brightport, and we're gonna be masters of our destiny.
Sorry, it was mean to laugh.
That's a lot.
Jamie, that's a lot. Jamie's in chat, and I feel bad. And so it's actually Jamie and Jameson are in the chat. It's
rude. Yeah, they're doing awesome. They know what's happened to them.
The Jamie twins.
So, kicking this off, Callie, this was one of those weird, in the midst of this, hey, let's set goals for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I feel like the entire party had a chance to kind of have one of those what are we fighting for conversations where everyone's sort of like, yeah, I mean, it would be nice to solve all these problems because I actually do have something I want to accomplish.
Yeah. We've been so busy trying to fix things that started in the beginning of our journey, and we still haven't fixed those things. We just keep adding more bad things that we need to fix. They need 70,000 ingredients to fix everything that's wrong with them at this point.
And then, like, unknown ingredients for, like, the curse. Like, they still need to figure that out. that seems pretty impending.
Big, man.
Yeah.
Wait. Jamie's asking, so are you guys coming out here for Thanksgiving or us there?
It's February.
Yeah, it's February,
Jamie.
Give
me a break.
What are you doing?
Does everybody come to Florida? Most of the cast is in Florida anyway.
Oh, yes. There's three of you in Florida. Most of us are in California.
Yeah.
All right, we're number three, two.
Four of you guys are there. Whatever. Yeah.
Five.
Five?
Wait. You, me, Jamie, four, five. Yep, Ian. Five. And
Alex.
Five.
Oh, yeah. Damn it.
Haha, we win.
You forgot
it's
about
it. It's kind of
them.
Cheating because we're the size of seven states. Like, technically, if we were divvied up properly, I think it would be like two and three.
Yeah.
But.
Anywho.
Let's just go to the middle and meet where Rob lives in St. Louis. That's the middle, right? There we go.
Wow, that is so not the middle. Also, I would gladly cook for everyone. Just throwing that out
there.
Me
too. Okay, sorry.
We'll fight over it. Okay.
Or we could help each other.
Oh. Yeah, I guess that's an option too. We could help each other, I guess. Yeah.
I'd love to watch you guys cook. I will be there to help.
This is like exactly how you define each of us. Jason's like, I will do everything. And I'm like, here, I'll help, I guess.
And if someone gives me a camera, I will take a lot of really unflattering photos.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
But like 7,000 of them. To the point where, like, when you find a good one, it's not even special anymore because there are 7,000 at the tip of Jason's nose and like a close up of his eye.
And his shoes. I've seen pictures close ups of his shoes.
There are more. There are more close ups of my shoes online than my face.
I think that's something.
Callie goes in depth about this curse that essentially, at least she believes, is on her family.
Yeah.
People in her family die at the age of 30, or tend to die right around in there, like at the age of 30. So Callie has like 2, maybe 3 years left. And I think it says something about Callie's character that it took this long to be like, yeah, hey,
right.
Clock's a ticking. I kind of need to get that. Like, she's all about helping and wants to further the group's agenda and get stuff done. But at the same time, it's like, all right, this is just getting more tangled and I'm running out of time. So maybe we could get on the road. And Larg went in depth about his brother in the orphanage and and all
who
that stuff.
Apparently is an Ubo, though that would have been cool.
That
was something people started theorizing that, like, okay, wait, there are two half orcs on the show.
Yeah.
One of them's way more human than orc, the other one's way more orc than human. Then Larg said that he had a twin brother who hurt him and went to the orcish side. It's like, damn, that does really line up. But they are not twins.
Here's the thing. I do really feel like that would be super cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it does kind of paint one of them as the bad brother.
Yeah, because he attacked him. I think that's the only... I don't see Ubo doing that. Like, Ubo is orcish. Like, he definitely veers towards
that
side.
He wants to be part of that society.
Yeah. But he's never been violent towards anyone.
No.
Unnecessarily so.
Well, last night's episode.
I don't know.
The other thing is, Rob and I talked about this behind the scenes. Like, the whole reason he latched onto Maddie, or the reason Ubo did, is because he wanted to learn about every other culture than the orc culture. Mm-hmm. So he wants to fit in on both worlds.
Yeah. I have been. So obviously, I got backstories for all these characters. Almost 2 years ago. Holy shit. We've been doing our two for a long time, guys. So when I learned about Larg's brother, it's one of those things where I started, like, it's like, well, what would this character act like? And a lot of it is like, not the polar opposite. Like, it's Larg with a goatee. But, like, there is a lot of it where it's like, oh, man, that would be a fun thing to play if they ever got in a scene together. And I'm hoping that happens one day.
Are they identical?
My understanding is that they're twins. Like, they're...
Awesome. All right, so that means you're going to have to do a Jameson impression.
Oh, do it. Do it now. I want to hear it.
How low can you go?
No. See, that's the opposite thing I'm talking. He's going to be like, I'm going to fuck you up! Like, it's going to be really high-pitched.
Oh, my God.
And then they'll fight, and it's going to be hilarious.
So you're just going to have Bree or myself do the voice, right?
Yeah.
You want to go, motherfucker?
I just want to take all the pomp and circumstance out of that.
Me. Sounds like some sort of, like, really small gnome.
Yep.
This is Jameson in the chat. No.
Oh my god. Moving on in this episode. So, okay. Here's something we haven't touched on in a very long time. So, the group...
Oh my god, I just connected it. Because you said very long time. And I was like, what is he talking about? I've never heard of those.
Yep. It's been a really, really long time. And it's...
Did you hear about Bards is going to be the theme this year?
Oh my god.
You will never live that down. Wow. Aw.
I love you, Bree. I'm going to send you brownies.
Could you?
I'm so sorry.
Could you carve little bees in the brownies for Bards? As a constant reminder. Like a scarlet
I'll just
letter
pretend
of
you stand for Brianna.
All right.
Cut them into the shapes of instruments.
Just labeling them B for brownie.
Yeah, so you know.
So the group essentially finds a campsite, right? And this campsite is empty. And in most campsites that look like this, you approach it and it kind of looks like someone has been taken away. And there's, like, little spatterings of blood. So the first thing you think is, oh, that's foul play. And then the more they sort of explore that space, they realize, oh, this person was probably very sick and was coughing up blood. And then this group took that person away. Mm-hmm. Whether they were dead or not is kind of, like, up for debate.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that I have always wanted to just explore on the show, and I have no idea if we ever will, but I love the idea of the collectors, and I love that kind of weird mythos behind them, like why they do what they do, and it's kind of the opposite of, like, plague doctors and stuff like that, where they're connected to disease and stuff like that, but they're... Well, I don't know how much to get into here because I don't want to like ruin the mystery.
For the other people who don't remember, and also in my own fucking defense, this was way back in like the first half of Arc 1.
Mm-hmm.
Because the collectors are the ones who took Megan's body. Tala's body.
Yep.
And that was
let's
like
not
episode...
have a conversation about Tala, but let's like that's the last we heard about the collectors, right?
Yeah, it was like episode 30.
Yeah. And it was kind of hinted that they might have been involved with the cloning stuff, but like I think that was character assumptions, like, oh, is this connected to this? Not so much.
That's the worst thing is when I can't correct or confirm, where I just like
because mm-hmm. then her role and it's a two.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then her body turned up in Carter's collection. Oh, yep.
And that's when people started guessing that, like, oh, the collectors must be connected with Overwatch somehow. But now that
but
seems
now
to not
it's
be true.
Gone.
Yeah, because Overwatch is gone. So either, like, maybe they were just funding them, and now they're starting to be funded by somewhere else, or...
Or he put in a request, and somehow he had, like, ties to them?
Oh. Are they freelance? Do they work on commission?
There's an outfit that they wear that I had a lot of fun designing, and I guess we get to put it in the book.
What is... Oh, I don't know. Can we ask?
I mean, you can ask.
With that.
Yeah, that was... So, like, I wanted to come up with something. Hopefully we get funded on April 20th, guys. You can look at our Kickstarter. It'll be up. But hopefully we get funded, and we can employ a lovely artist to... What happened?
Sorry, Jamie agreed. She also didn't remember that, so fuck everybody.
I'm right there with you, Bree. I didn't remember that either.
There's a lot. There's 7 years of history to remember. I didn't bust your balls over that.
I forgot about the bard thing in 2 seconds.
That's the one that was pointed at you.
I felt bad as soon as I said it. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's a meme. You know what? No, I won't. Everyone knew.
Minotaur 1992. I love all you guys, but I have skipped two things ever: baby voice within 1 second and Cole. I get it. Like that's I get it.
I definitely get the first part. The second part, I'm like, because I'm friends with Laurent still.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, I've had frank discussions with Laurent about Cole.
Yeah.
In a character chat.
Laurent has had frank discussions with
Cole. I had to wait 3 years before I could talk to Laurent. I'm like, come on, man. You were flanking? Come on. Like,
come on, Laurent. You and the kid? Which one would you have brought back?
No. Baby voice, though, I can't listen to that either.
No,
which
I can't.
Is funny because, like, when we're playing video games, I'll sometimes do the baby voice as a joke. Mm. But, like,
oh, did you hear Jason's?
The funny part is, I know it's terrible. That's the joke. That wasn't the joke with Tala.
No,
I was okay. I have become frustrated while DMing very few times in the 7 years I've been doing it. Very few. That was one of them, with the baby voice and the screaming, and like, again, that was cut out of the episode, but there's a full-fledged scream.
Directly into the mic.
Into the mic, with everyone. It was like, oh my god, it's one of those things where it's like, this is not going the way that I want it to go.
But anyway, the collectors.
Hopefully, that'll be, I know, Group B running into that was like the worst group to do so. Because they're not going to follow up on that.
They're too busy,
They're too goddamn busy. Like, that's the last thing that they need. But it would be cool for someone, somewhere, to unravel that. And while I would, we talk about the book enough. Hopefully So, finally, we get to the cave. So, they are, they're traveling to this cave to get two ingredients. Elderbright Cavern. And cave diving, in Theria, is a dangerous hobby / profession / goal.
Mm-hmm.
And in this episode, I got to do... Because there's stuff that just exists in caves that you're not going to find on the road. the Diracha being one of them. It's this, essentially take a rider, but there's no drow riding this thing or attack. It's the upper half of a drow as a dead appendage. It just lays there and waits for someone to approach it, and then gets up and just sort of morbidly skitters across the room and attacks. And it's super fun. And that's what they run into at the end of this episode.
I'm mad because so far, like, one of the things that Clara has going for her is that she's a drow and she's lived underground and she knows about those types of creatures and such.
Right.
And I'm really mad we haven't had a chance to go underground or use any of that knowledge. But then I'm listening to other groups get to do that. And I'm like, damn, I bet Clara might have rolled and been able to find out what that was and warn them, at least.
But, with advantage, because you've been there. Oh, gosh.
Yeah. But these poor guys, that was so messed up.
Jameis in the chat, terrible monster. I hate it. But I always picture Jameis's voice. Just... Oh, my God.
When we get that monster drawn, it should be Jameson's body at the top, just like
Jameson specifically.
Just Jameson.
Yes.
Glasses. Just
Jamie makes a good point. You might get to see a whole new continent.
I might. Yeah.
In Group C, we're about to talk about that now. Actually, yeah.
Ryan might too.
I'm not going with you guys.
Varys hates boats. I didn't tell anyone.
Yeah. That's okay. I do want to talk. Hold that thought about Varys and boats. Okay. Hold that thought.
What?
Because this is really important. Okay, we're gonna talk about Arc 2, Episode 61. Get busy living. In which Group C has a very similar discussion to what Group B did, and just decides, okay, what is our goal? What? Let's come up with a 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. Let's all sit down and figure it out. Because you guys are, I wouldn't say you're like Group B, because Group B, I think, has had the hardest row to hoe of any group on the show this arc.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Pound for pound.
Yeah.
That being said, while Group C has been pretty damn successful and things will be thrown at Group C and you guys usually overcome it, you kind of, wherever the wind blows you guys, you're just like, well, I guess we're going here now, and I guess we're going here.
We were talking about the balance between groups a few days ago, and, like, I said, Group A seems to have it the most correct when it comes to a goal.
Right.
It's like they seem to have a few goals that are all mildly important, but they're all kind of going in the same direction.
Yeah.
Group B has so many fucking goals, and they're all incredibly important and time sensitive, so it feels like they're being pulled in a bunch of directions. And then Group C, for a very long time, we were very aimless as far as just, like, I think the whole group was afraid to make their thing the thing.
Yep.
And we talked about that a lot in the feedback episode, but I'm glad that we finally were just like, fuck it. Let's go.
It's fun. Yeah. It's fun that you guys finally just pointed in a direction. It's like, let's do it then. Mm-hmm. Let's be the ones.
Because
like
you finally all had a common enemy, the royals, because they all pissed you off.
That's something.
They stole Merrick's sword, guys.
Stole his sword.
There's not an ounce of me that thought you guys would gravitate to that.
That was almost entirely Jasper, too, because, like, I think Clara, one of the things about Clara that I think is pretty clear at this point is because she grew up half drow, a lot of things roll off her back. Like, she's used to racism. She grew up in a specific relationship that was very racist, and she just learned to fucking ignore it. And, like, most things just slide off her back. Like, she'll be annoyed for a while. But eventually Merrick kind of broke her down where she's like, you know what? I am mad about this.
It's kind of like that John Mulaney skit. Like, I should be mad that the airline canceled my ticket.
Because we're Delta Airlines. And like, fucking nightmare. It's 100% that.
That's,
it's
yeah.
Like, you're right. They shouldn't.
Okay. Minotaur 1992 says, bullshit, Jason. It was a bunch of cunts that reset the traps. Yes. Well, okay. Here's the thing.
That was part of it.
Which hasn't been done on the show before. And when designing this group of people, that's like, okay, like, there's got to be other adventuring groups out there.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of things that every group on the show, being, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and ABC. I think people following in your wake would look at your actions and kind of judge. It's like, those guys are dicks. Like,
right.
But that was one of those things I thought you guys would run into this.
Yeah.
It would be, it's like, oh, that sucks. And you'd go, fuck those guys and move on. Not robot house. Like, I didn't know Jasper was, like, it's like, oh, we've been a powerful enemy today.
And
like,
that's the resetting the traps thing. That's the thing that Clara is so upset about. Because it's like, that's actively, not only did we take the prize at the end of the thing, but we reset the traps on our way out so that they could kill someone else.
And do you know,
extra shitty.
That's
that
inspired.
Is so dick.
It is, but that's inspired that by a so few dick. Things. One, there's a little bit of Ocean's 12 in there. There's this, there's a French guy named Talor, who is essentially the greatest thief.
Wait, his name's Talor?
Talor, something like that. It's a French name.
That's the name of a continent.
Yes!
That's
but like, it's,
off.
Yeah, it's, anyway. So, the guy is this expert acrobat, and he's an amazing thief and everything like that, and he's kind of an asshole about it. Mm-hmm. With the royals, I always thought that it was like, we kind of touched on it in this episode, where it's like, yeah, they work hard and play hard. When they're off the clock, they're absolutely loud and kind of rambunctious. When they're on the clock, they are laser-focused and very good at
and
what
I'm
they
definitely,
do.
I'm not calling bullshit on them re-upping the traps, because I can definitely see a type of asshole who would do that.
Well,
that's just what pissed Clara off enough to be like, you know what? Yeah.
And they're, okay, they're mentality with that, and I could tell, because I don't know if you guys are ever going to run into them, but their mentality with that is like, well, why should you be handed this? Like, we had to earn our way through. You should have to earn your way through.
Earn our way through.
But they're not being handed
anything.
Yeah.
Right.
They're not getting anything.
I'm not saying that their logic is flawless. I'm saying that it's like, hey, if you want to see the rest of this, that you should have to do what we did.
Right. And it's a good character trait, and I like it. But in Clara's mind, it's like, what if we had just been, like, people who wanted to study Vecna?
Right.
Like, what if we had just been, like, academics?
Right.
And you killed us
and
for your pride.
Here's the thing, though. I could tell you what their excuse would be for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you should hire us.
Wow.
They're assholes, but you can kind of see it's like, I see where you're coming from, but you're a douche. Like,
you're going to get stabbed.
They might.
That's
I don't
what's
going
to happen.
So we spend the first bit of the episode getting to know Iris and getting Mandy used to the group. And that's when I didn't see this coming either, where Merrick starts talking about the gods and how it's like, yeah, it's kind of bullshit and we freed them though. And it's like, and Mandy latched onto that like a pit bull as Iris.
Yeah.
And
yes.
It's like, that's bullshit. No, you take it back. Like, it's very, like.
Dude, it was so good.
Ooh, that was really good.
And I told Mandy this during the episode. I'm not sure how much of it made it in, how much of it is behind the scenes or whatever, but, like, I'm so glad she did that because we kind of glazed over that as group three, when we first started. So I'm really glad someone latched onto the gods thing and questioned Merrick about that because Clara's religious. The problem is Merrick's not, and almost everyone who freed the gods isn't religious or actively is anti-theist.
Yeah.
Because that's what I define Santos as anti-theist. Like, she believes they exist, but she also thinks they're cunts.
Yeah. It's kind of like seeing two of your friends on Facebook, like, violently start discussing something, and it comes out of nowhere. It's like, guys, what? Here's a picture of a puppy. Yeah. Like, it's just.
And that was Clara. Just like, hey, did you see this dog in a hot dog outfit?
So yeah, that was super fun, and I'm wondering if that comes up again, or if it's just going to be like a let bygones be bygones type thing, where it's like, yeah, we're going to agree to disagree.
Yeah. And I think that was a good middle ground where it's like, hey, you preach your thing. I'm not going to stop him from preaching his thing either.
Right.
But I kind of hope it keeps going a little
bit. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Because religious zealots don't often stop.
No. No. I mean, it's one of those things.
Some lovely Mormons and they don't stop.
What I'd like to see is that come up every once in a while. I don't want it to see like a Cole Sora thing where it's every moment of every day, because that gets tedious.
Yep.
But like, I do want it to see it, like every 5-10 episodes, it comes up a little bit.
I would love to see like the small slights. Like if we go to a town and we need something at like the church, and we go to the church, and then all of a sudden Iris just kind of like just slams Merrick for just something in a very small manner, and then just walks away.
Or every time he casts a spell, oh, thank your God for that. Like,
yeah, just like the little things, just to keep poking Merrick.
Yeah.
And then he woofs out and kills us all. And
Don't keep poking Merrick.
Move on. Let's talk about the Royals for a second. And I think there's some confusion in the chat that it's like, it's not completely based on Ocean's 12. It's more just like, oh, I kind of like that idea of like an elitist, not because they're not
based
thieves.
On Ocean 12's the same way that like Jadzia is based on Raceland from Dragonlance, where it's like that's like an
there's a nugget of something in there.
Yeah,
like
but
it's,
you change it
because they're not thieves. Because I mean, I don't think anybody would have branded you guys thieves if you would have reached
if
that
taken and the sword.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. It's more. Artifact liberation, let's call it.
That's definitely what they would call it.
That's
the asshole thing to call it.
Exactly. Yeah.
But no, they stole Merrick's sword.
They liberated Merrick's
sword. They went, oh
yeah,
my
they
God.
Liberated his sword.
I cannot wait. Okay, imagine that they're doing their thing, and Group C comes riding in, and that's the first, you stole my sword. They're, okay.
I just wanted them to be like, you don't even use a sword, because he doesn't. That's the mace.
There would be like several reactions to that. It's like, I mean, we got to it first. Fuck you. But like, mostly it's like, I don't know who you are. That's.
Yeah. Yep.
It's great to have an arch nemesis who doesn't know who you are and has never heard about you before. They will. When we steal their boat.
Ooh, I hope you guys do. I really do.
Oh. Kind of hope we do too. I'm not sure how feasible that is, and I'm not sure if Clara would go along with it. But I kind of hope it would just be a thing where it's like, oh, let's just take their boat.
Let me ask the chat something. Just to, because now I'm curious. Are Group C the plucky underdogs? Or are you the ones who are driven by spite and like...
You can be two things.
Okay.
They can be spiteful underdogs.
Spiteful underdogs. Yes, perfect.
I was just wondering, like, that's a thing where... Like, it's
like when Suki spite. Tries to fight a Rottweiler, but she's the one who started it. It's
right.
Like, yeah.
So far, spite.
So it turns out the Royals were in Aldmore just a, you know, a day and a half ago, something like that. And the group, they were very loud about what they'd like to go do. And essentially it's like they want to be the ones to power the gates and unify them. And it'll go down in history that they solved the mystery that no one else could. And they like it is the ultimate prize for it's like. Fuck you, God. We're famous. Like, fuck you. Yeah. Like, that is...
And Merrick wants to steal away their dream.
That's the thing.
Which
that's
is so dark and amazing. It's just like, no, I don't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
And I don't even want the sword back, even though I never owned it in the first place. But shush. I don't even want my sword back. I want to steal their goal.
He doesn't even want to confront them. He doesn't want to face them. He just wants to steal what they want.
Which is very spiteful.
Yes.
Spite is winning. I don't think anyone said anything but spite.
Steve in the chat. It surprised me that they universally said, no, stealing the boat is bad, but let's crush their spirit.
It's like that episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer where it's like, I taught you on, Yonka. Go for the pain, not the kill. It's like, Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Once you start sounding like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer villain, you've gone a little far.
Yeah. Well, we've seen Merrick kind of get swept up in passion, I guess, let's call it.
He's like someone who
so cheery.
Like, he gets these big ideas and he just starts working on them. He's like, I'm going to build a skating rink in my front yard, and just like goes for it.
Yeah.
So finally, it's decided that after Group C visit Umaniro, which comes with a host of its own bullshit and stuff to unpack, because Merrick had a girlfriend there named Tia, who I guess he, well, I know what happened, but like he did reveal in the episode that he wolfed out near her or around her. And that pretty much ended the relationship.
Yeah. Though it was kind of vague whether or not he decided that ended the relationship or she decided that ended the relationship.
We'll unpack it when we get there.
It kind of seemed like a little bit of both, but it's, yeah, I can't wait to see how that actually happened.
Yeah, without knowing the behind the scenes at all, like, I feel like Merrick would have been like, oh, shit, and then backed off. But it was probably both. But knowing Merrick's character, he probably wouldn't have wanted that to happen at all.
It's a mess. And he obviously doesn't want to go back or interact with her, but we'll see what happens. And then after that, it sounds like you guys are off to...
I'm on a boat!
You're hitting the seas.
On a motherfucking boat.
2007, baby! It's not even close. 2007, is that about right?
No, that's about right. Yeah. That's yep.
I'm really bad with years, guys. That's universally true.
I don't know if you guys are going to get there or beat them, but that sounds like going to be your long-term goal.
They're going to do it, Jason.
We'll see. Hey, I've been waiting 7 years for anybody to figure out the gates. Like, it's been a long time.
There's another thing, which is like, technically, I don't want to be a downer because I want to go to Talor, but like, or Athias or anywhere, really. There are gates everywhere, so we could still try to research it while staying on Alara, too. But there's a lead in Talor, is my understanding. It is Talor, right?
Nope.
No, it's Athias?
Nope.
No, it's one of the continents we've never been to.
Could I?
Damn it. Fuck. I'm so bad at things.
But it's one of those things where...
I wrote into my notes.
It's one of those things where it's probably going to be like a globetrotting thing. Like, yeah. it's not like, oh, we go... It's going to be...
But they have a head start on us.
A little bit,
but
yeah.
But we are also going to Umaniro and can ask some people and...
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Bree and Ryan, I'm going to warn you. Demons are known to be on boats, so watch out.
I just want that written in an ancient text in Theria somewhere. Like, demons are known to be on boats.
Demons are basically sharks. It's confirmed.
Sharks are on boats? That's weird.
Sometimes.
But yeah, we'll see. Because sometimes, like, it's a thing where, like, we can either go neck and neck and try to race them to all the same things, or we can try to find different things and hope our things are better, essentially. So it depends on what our group wants to do.
And that's... It essentially comes down to what you're going to put your eggs in which basket.
Yeah, because once we start doing one, it'll be really put us at a disadvantage if we switch to another.
Right.
So.
We got an email for this.
Looks like
and
you
I wanted
clean
to make
out
sure.
Inbox.
Hey, yeah, shut up.
Back off.
We
Jason.
Might have been talking about this earlier today.
So at this point, I want to move on to chat questions and comments and all that stuff. Not that we don't pay attention to it regularly, but we have an email from Michael J. I wanted to go down this list really quick. Michael's always good about sending us like thoughts on the recent episodes and stuff like that. Group A. So how do you guys feel about traveling around with the Apostle of Amonitor? We kind of covered this a little bit. Yeah. That's...
I guess I'm the representative.
You are the representative.
Let me give you the accurate thoughts of each of the members. And this will be their, like, canon thoughts. No, I don't know. I already said what Maddie thinks. It's like a 3 out of 10 that she's resentful, but it'll probably just slowly become 0 as she doubts herself. So.
I'm hoping. I don't know. I don't know what I hope for that. Because part of me, it's like the Michael constantly rolling ones for hit points. Like that bit, part of me wants to see how far James can push this and yeah. like.
Oh, I hope he keeps rolling so good. I hope that it gets to the point where you have to give him advantage because he's talked to God so much.
Oh, God.
I like the meme in the chat right now is praise Masoka.
Yeah.
That might need to be a t-shirt. Just saying.
Yes.
Jeez. Group B. Wow. No wonder you guys are paranoid. You roll a 17 and you get disease camps and giant corpse bugs. I want to clear.
They also have a cool cloak.
That's okay. I want to clear up a misconception. Cause we're doing, tables and charts and stuff like that for the book. And, a lot of those travel rules are going to be in there. So keep an eye on Jamie's thing. I'm going to come back to it. So a high number doesn't necessarily mean the group's going to get gifted something or that something bad couldn't be a byproduct of something. It's more,
I got it.
Okay. It's more that a low roll is going to be almost guaranteed to be bad. Mm-hmm. A higher roll is like, oh, a bad thing might happen, but there's going to be this really good thing that outweighs that or outshines
right.
it. And sometimes a like a lead
yeah.
to something that no one ever else has figured out is in there too.
Right. That was something we talked about earlier this week because you were doing the tables for the Northlands.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how you were afraid people were going to be upset because some of the things for higher roles aren't necessarily like in Theria, you don't just stumble upon a chest full of gold.
No.
Which is something that happens in regular D&D all the time. You stumble upon an opportunity, like the Tomb of Vecna is a great example of, I think we rolled really well to get yep. to that tomb. There were fucking skeletons and traps.
And mummies and shit.
Mummies. And we didn't even get a sword at the end. But we got a really good time.
Well, you guys did pick up a bunch of, like, little artifacts.
A ring.
Yeah. yeah.
I got to show it off to Iris yeah. and be like, ha-ha.
Wait, are we wearing, friend. Like, the same ring? The necrotic resistance ring? Or is Maddie and... I think we are. Maddie and Clara are wearing, like, the same ring. Oh, we're married. Okay.
She does have a thing for redheads, turns out.
Okay. Oopsie. I'm so excited that you're going to be taking on the royals. Someone needs to. But please be careful. I've got a bad feeling about these guys. And I'd like to give you a special shout out to the two exclusive campaigns on Patreon. Oh, that's a completely different thing. The Party of Monster Hunters are giving me second edition flashbacks as they tackle some classic D&D monsters. And the Vampire the Masquerade show has to be heard to be believed. It is... words are failing me. I'm amazed. Get on it, people. Subscribe and enjoy. P.S. Valerie, get some damn glasses. Valerie needs new glasses.
She does, yeah.
She does.
Be excellent to each other, Michael J. Aww. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
She really does need new glasses. She drove up here, or I live about 4 yeah. hours away from her, and she drove up here, and I heard about her not having glasses after she left, and I was like, oh, God, I hope she's okay.
Speaking of the royals, though, Jamie asked in the chat, I want to know, what are you guys going to do if the royals end up being super awesome, nice folks? Like, they give your sword and are super nice and stuff.
Oh, Varys will be completely freaking confused. Because so he's going off of everything that, like, Merrick is telling him and kind of, like, taking him under his wing, saying, this is why we should go after them. And if it turns out that they're really honest, nice people, Varys is going to be standing in the middle, eyes darting back and forth between both groups, just going, and that's it. Like, that's what that's going to be.
I wanted to talk about this, too. So, Varys has spent his entire life in Brightport. Yes. He's very much a city kid. He hasn't gotten to see a lot of the world, so Varys doesn't know his tolerance for certain things. Varys doesn't know if he likes certain foods. Varys doesn't know if he's an outdoorsy type of guy. Varys doesn't know if he gets seasick.
True.
That's true.
Well, so I think he would know if he gets seasick, strictly because part of his backstory is he grew up in a bad part of the
neighborhood. Yeah, he grew up on the docks.
right on the docks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like...
So that one probably.
Has he been on the open sea?
I think he would be more likely to be out in the open sea rather than outside of the walls.
That makes sense. Okay, that's fine. That's just one of those things... The printer came up. Damn it, I was hoping to get through this show.
It sure did. I have watched that printer behind the scenes 7 times now. I pull it up when I'm just like not feeling great about my day. I'm just like, I'm kind of sad. Printer.
When you posted that video to YouTube, I had 3 people at my work that ran by my desk. Be like, oh, have you seen the video that they posted? Oh my gosh! And just run away. That was fantastic.
Can I also, you threw me under the bus for not double checking your work with the printer, which I think is unfair.
You bought it. At no point.
Should what I come and just look over your shoulder and just be like, hey, here's a list of all the things you're doing wrong today. Like, that seems like
you
a
do it for
move.
Everything else. I thought that like that. Whoa. Would extend, like, okay, here's the thing. I'm joking. Here's the thing though.
I understand you needed someone to blame.
That wasn't,
and
no.
I wasn't there.
I'm to blame, but it was common ground. It wasn't throwing you under the bus. It's like, hey, I'm not the only one, is what I was trying to do.
I've never looked at that printer and been like, that paper's loaded correctly.
You didn't say it was loaded incorrectly.
I never looked at the printer.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, this was one of those things that's like, there's a wife and a husband, and the wife puts on a dress and goes, hey, do I look fat in this? The husband doesn't even look up and just goes, nope. This was the exact same thing.
Except the wife didn't even ask. Like, it's not like you ever looked at the printer and went, hey, Brianna, does this look right?
You watched me fiddle with it for 2 days trying to get the drivers to work. You watched me unplug things. You watched me buy a cord for it. You watched me go back and forth.
A cord for it.
Hey, at least it's working now, guys.
It is working now. It's a delightful printer.
It's loaded correctly and you are printing things.
I don't know if I would have thought that's where the slot is. It's too late now to know. It would be meta knowledge that I know it's not true now.
Well, in
but
my
if
defense,
if I had seen it and noticed that it wasn't right, I would have just been like, "Oh, that's probably where he's keeping the paper for right now." I wouldn't have been like, "Oh, he doesn't know where paper goes."
Well, it's okay. I've owned fucking 50 printers in my lifetime. That's the first time I've loaded in career. In my defense, it's for the fax machine. You know, that part of the printer everyone uses all the time.
That's fair.
All the time in the 70s.
You can also run combos through it.
No.
No? That's not how you copy?
No, because they wouldn't feed out anywhere. It's but, right there. It loops. That's how it works.
But you have a printer now, and
yes,
everything's
yes.
okay.
Because the scanner's and... underneath of that. That's what was
well,
said
that's
in
so
the
behind
the
scenes.
Well,
you don't have to do the copies individually. Like, if you want to copy an entire document, you could put the whole copy in there.
Well, I was talking about, like, when we sent the stuff to Rachel for the contracts we had to sign. Anyway. Whatever.
The point is, that was funny as hell, and I love it. And you guys should all go onto YouTube right now and watch that behind the scenes. And that's just a taste of what you get. If
Karen!
You join our Patreon.
Karen's here! I'm not angry. I'm frustrated.
Jason is so angry.
He's angry.
Jason, deep breath.
I'm fine.
Deep breath in.
Jason, can you roll a d4 for me?
Oh god. I guess that's pretty much our episode, guys. Someone's asking me about mystery stuff in the chat. I can't answer that right now. I can't. Maybe soon though.
What mystery stuff?
Well, there's a little mystery that we've been posting about with videos and stuff like that. I've seen little bits and pieces on things like Twitter and Facebook and stuff, but holy God, is our Discord server on it. Round-the-clock code breaking and checking each other's notes and all that stuff. It's been amazing to watch. April 20th is Theriathon 2019. I really hope that everybody can make it out and hang out with us for 12 hours of playing games and... I know 2 of the groups are going to be playing, and we're working on a third for doing, like, a one-shot, something like that.
You're on the list, Susan. Promise.
I just... We weren't able to play.
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, it happens.
It happens. Like, it was a miracle that we did it last year. That being said, we're still going to play, like, 2-3 games that day. Yeah. Like, and it's going to be awesome. So, Do you guys got anything to fill? What happened?
Virgie! In 15 seconds, that person's heart is going to be broken.
Yeah.
Because, in the chat, as Susan and I are like,
sorry, Berchi.
Oh, yeah, Group A can't play. Someone in the chat typing, Group A better be there!
That doesn't mean that elements of Group A won't be there.
Yeah.
We're working on something to kind of fill that void. I sent a message to a few players today because there's been a session that I've wanted to play for a year and a half.
Ooh.
It's a story thing we started setting up, and it's just never been a good time to pull the trigger.
Oh. Ooh. Nice. Ooh, it's okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
I was going to say, you're part of it, so, you
should. Yeah, I should know. I should know.
No, you're not.
Wow.
I'm just...
You're being such a bitch today, Jason.
I love you so much.
Before we started the extended rest, he was also taking little snipes like that, and I made a joke about how he's being a bitch today.
It's true, yeah. I don't know why.
He yelled at Elle for, reading Game Informer earlier.
I did not!
She showed you a joke from Game Informer, and you were like, yeah, 4 months too late.
It's okay.
She was just trying to enjoy this thing with
No, people. It wasn't her. It was more, Print Media is dying. It was more that. It was, yeah. Anywho. Thank you, guys.
Against printers. It's not Elle's fault.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is great. Yep. Breeze thinks his bards. Jason's his printers. Nope. It's each got to have one.
We're both terrible. How about that? Thank you guys so much for hanging out and joining us for another extended rest. We have what do we got? When's the Discord meetup this month?
Oh shit! I think it's Wednesday.
Wednesday, maybe.
I think Wednesday. So. Let's check. 95% sure it's Wednesday.
If you guys are on our Patreon at patreon.com/DANTR, this Tuesday. Oh my God, Monday and Tuesday are packed. this Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, we're going to have a Discord meetup. That's when essentially we all pile into general chat and we just hang out with 15 or 20 of you guys, and talk about just whatever
stuff.
Yeah. Beyond that, thank you, Ryan and Susan, for making time and hanging out with us.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
We have no lives.
For showing up, even though this wasn't our normal time, because that's always really cool when we don't take a huge hit to our numbers.
Yeah.
Because I always expect there to be five people in chat when we go on a day that's not Friday night. So, but thank you for that, because that meant that Group A could play. And that's the one we've been hinting at this entire extended rest.
Thanks, guys.
Max Panda asks, can you promise more bear math at this Theriathon? It'll be a new meme. I don't know what it'll be. That was a year ago.
That just hit me really hard.
Yeah.
Deep inside, it was that was last Theriathon.
Yep, we're all
and
dying.
And that was, Claudius. 2 weeks in game time.
It's no, the last a week. Unicorn. It's I can feel this body dying all around me.
I wasn't on Chosen.
It doesn't feel okay. I'm going to blink, and it's going to be time for Dragon Con again. I'm not ready for that.
I'm ready.
Oh, then blink.
I'm ready to hang out with you guys.
I'm ready to hang out with all you.
We still got a fucking book to finish so that we could... Yeah. But, I want to hang out with you guys. I'm not ready to do the whole let's do a live... Oh, actually, I am. Because holy shit, do I have a plan for this Dragon Con and whoever's going to be on stage. Oh, my God. I can't wait to just... Oh!
Not it. Fingers on my nose. I did it last week.
Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next month for a brand new extended rest and for 3 brand new episodes of DNR.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Bye, guys.
I thought something else was going to come after that. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.